covering this last week, this week, and the week next week. We're covering an old story, but with a fresh look, fresh eyes. And to me, I think it's probably one of the best, Jesus' most important and the best parables that he said, or the story that he said he taught his disciples. And Luke put it together and put it in Luke chapter 15. And then there are three separate stories that Luke recorded. And I think his audience, Jesus' audience, are tax collectors, sinners, and also some self-declared righteous Pharisees and high priests and the priesthood. So if you read chapter 15 of Luke, and you see the context of these stories. You see, chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, now the tax collector and sinners were all gathered around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eat with them." Then Jesus told them this parables. So chapter 15 began with the lost sheep, right? And then he followed with the lost coin. And then the most famous story is the lost son. And we talked a little bit last week about these are story geared towards the people of God, not the people who are outside of his, the community. And not everybody is son of God. We see that from John chapter 1, verse 12. Is that anybody who received Jesus as Savior, God gave him the privilege and the right to become children of God. So here, he's specifically talking about people who belong to God, because that lost sheep belongs to the shepherd in the first place, right? It's not some wild sheep, wild goat in the field that he's looking to bring them into the sheep pen. This is the sheep that is gone astray. And then the second story about the lost coin, that coin belongs to the woman. It's not he's looking for somebody else's lost coin. She is looking for her lost coin. And then lastly, right? Son. It belongs to the father, the son and father. So the lostness here is not talking about lostness in the sense of loss and in the whole outside the community of God, but it's talking about astray. He went astray. So it has a lot to do with who we are, because we can relate to those experiences that we belong to God, but at times we walk away. Or we are lost. We don't know what to do. So, prodigal son is in the middle of this three stories. And last week we talked about the first son, because I feel that this is the three messages, even though it's only got, verse 11 to chapter 15 of Luke, verse 11 to 32. There's only 20 verses, but it's got three stories in there. There's the lost son, the younger son. There is also, in my view, and I think Jesus is talking about it, the older son. The young son lost, he went away, right? The older son, he's lost, but he stayed home. He's at home and lost. And then there's, of course, the story about the father. The father, I think Jesus really, when he tells the story, his focus is on the father. How father react to these two kids. and not so much on the Son. It is on the Father. So the last message next week will be probably the most important, because that's what Jesus wants to convey to us. This is who God is. This is who God is. But today we're going to look at the lost son that never left home. That never left home. Well, the first portion of this about the young son, we all know what he did. And then he gathered himself after he spent everything, come back to his father. And how father celebrated his return. That was chapter 15, verse 23, 24. That's how God welcomed his son back. The son, even though the young son said, I'm not worthy to be called your son. But to the father, this kid never ceased to be a son. He has always been a son. Even though he has squandered, even though he has sinned, even though he has walked away from his father, but he has always been the father's son. Now, today, we start with verse 25. It has that word meanwhile. So Jesus is telling you, okay, there is a second part to this story here. There's the first part, we've done it, and that story seems to have a happy ending. Happy ending. But wait, there is a second part to this story. Okay, let me just read the whole story again. But pay particular attention when I read verse 25 to 32, because that is our verse for today. So, beginning with verse 11, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pots that the pig were eating, but no one gave him anything. Verse 17. When he came to his sense, he says, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. End of the younger son's story. Verse 25. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, well, what's going on? Your father has come. No, your brother has come, he replied. And your father has killed a fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobey your order. Yet you never give me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. When this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home and you kill the fattened calf for him? My son, the father says, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, the story has been told so many, many times in so many places and churches. And I just pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, you speak to us once again, or remind us once again who you are and who we are. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I said that you can identify, a lot of us can identify with the younger son. But I feel as I've in the Lord for years, you become identifying yourself with the older son. Older son. Especially me as a pastor, I identify with the older son. I'll tell you why later. So what is the problem with the older son? Oh, we know the younger son, his problem, right? He squandered his wealth. He went on wild living. He turned his back on his dad. And, he had done many things that were not to his father's liking, probably. So what is the problem with this kid? This kid's never left home. And he confessed, he says, you know, I have always obeyed you. I'm a good kid at home. So what's the problem? Do you see any problem in this description of the stories? Let me ask you, what do you think his relationship with his brother is like? Yeah? Good? Oh man, I haven't seen my brother for a long time. Now he's back. I'm so happy he's back. Alive. That is not what he says. What did he say? He compared himself with his brother, right? He became angry. He became angry. What is he became angry? Because his brother came home? I don't think so. I think he became angry because his father welcomed saving for you and never disobey your order. Yeah, you never gave me anything. This is verse 29. I feel this is his main issues. He is lost in his identity. Who is he? I mean, we all know he's a son, right? His father treated him as a son. Everybody else in the family know that he's a son, except for him. I've been slaving for you. In other words, he sees himself as a servant, as a slave. You know, that is so sad. That is so sad. You have been in this, in the care of your father all these years. Well, your father provided you with everything. Your father loves you. And yet, you see yourself as a servant. As a servant. You know, scripture has many a description of this relationship we have with God, right? I mean, if you were with me, we went through about master and servant, right? There's master, and then the servant is judged by his faithfulness. So there is definitely that relationship, master and servant. There's also the relationship with the king and the subject, right? He's the king, and then we are his subject. And then there's also the shepherd and the sheep. But you know, the primary relationship you have with God is father and son or daughter. Remember how Jesus teach you to pray? How do you address God? Oh, my master servant, my master, my king. No, Jesus in Matthew 6 teach you how to address God. Abba, our Abba in heaven. My dear father, my daddy in heaven. That's how Jesus taught us to address God. Not about, oh, great master, forever king, the creator of the universe. He says, Dad. When you talk to God, you address him as Dad. So that is our primary relationship with God. You know, I should not criticize this son because I was lost when I started serving as pastor. You know, pastor, you're serving the master, you're serving God, right? And so there's always the fear of you're not being faithful to what God asks you to do. You know, there's that parable about the talent, remember? 5,000, 3,000, 1,000, and then the first two were good and faithful servant. Come and enjoy your master's happiness. But then there's 1,000 servant. What does God says? What does the master says? You're lazy and wicked servant. Cast you out. You know, that has been what is driving me as pastors. All the time I was there, I said, Lord, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be the wicked and lazy servant. When you don't want to be like that, what did you do? You work harder. Like this older son. He works harder to show to his dad he's worthy. That's a servant. That's a slave mentality. Even though he's a son. Even though he's a son. I don't know, you guys serve. You guys will be serving probably, because you guys are still young, you will be serving in the church, in a community, faith community. The last thing you want to do is to think like I do. You're being judged by what you do. You're being judged by what you do. That's because you are a child of God. Do you think is that his dad is going to judge the younger son because he done nothing? In fact, he not only did nothing, he squandered everything. So, Don't forget who you are in relationship to God. Don't let I'm not saying that all these other relationships doesn't exist. They do exist. Okay? But there is also that primary. You always remember, you are a child of God. You are a child of God. And in that way, what God disciplined his children, right? The one that he loves, he disciplines. This is in Hebrew 10. Once he loved, he disciplined. But his discipline is with a loving hand, not as a judgment and punishment. Not as judgment and punishment. That is what gives you comfort as you are going through a difficult time or when you are lost. That you are a child of God, that he loves you. And then remembering, who can separate us from the love of God? Nothing separates you from the love of God. So this is what he's lost. He's lost in this. Because he lost his identity, he is lost in rivalry, competitions. He is lost in bitterness. Everything comes back to this. Now, if he thinks that he is a son, that God loves him, I think all these things will fade away. All these bitterness, all these competitors will fade away because I know my dad loves me. I know my dad loves me. You know, I think Jesus deliberately did not end this. There is no a bookend to this story, this older son's story. I mean, the younger son, the story is complete, right? He came home. The father gave him a party. Everybody is happy. But you read this second son, older son. It doesn't seem like there's any resolutions to this. I mean, he's angry. His dad came out to plead with him. Then what? Did he decide to go back? I mean, to go into the party? Did he decide to join the party? Or did he decide that just, I'm going to still pouting. I'm going to pout. Still angry. Jesus did not say, you know, what happened to the older son. I think that's deliberate because I feel that this is the decisions that we each had to make. We each had to make. Are you going to, in your lostness, in your anger, do you still want to join in the celebration and party and rejoice over? Rejoice over God. Rejoice over the lost sinners. Rejoice. I want you to take a look at with all these story, the three story I told you, right? Three stories. And what happened after they found the lost sheep? What happened to the lost sheep? Verse 6, chapter 15, verse 6. And he goes home, the shepherd goes home, he calls his friends and neighbor together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. And I tell you, and this is what Jesus is speaking now, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So he rejoiced for one. And then, how about the lost coin? She found it. And when she finds it, verse 9, she calls her friends and neighbor together and say, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. Rejoice. And then the story about the lost son, right? The father gave him a party, rejoicing, enjoying it. Like I said last week, I think it's worth repeating, is that we always feel God is angry with us. Because, like me, I always think that I am I'm unfaithful. I'm a lazy and wicked servant. So we always think God is sort of kind of angry with us. And God's judgment is always sort of kind of hanging over our head. So it's hard. I mean, we have to make a real effort to say, okay, I need to rejoice. Christmas time, I need to rejoice that the Savior has come. It seems like we had to find reason to rejoice. Find reason to celebrate with God. But here it says, if you are a son and daughter, you rejoice regardless. Even in the darkest moment, you can still rejoice. You know why? Because you are children of God. God is, you know, I mean, how long can you stay angry with your children? I mean, you guys don't have any kids, but we do. Chenbei does. And there are new parents. How long can you stay angry with your kids? I mean, for us, a day is a long time. A day is a long time. So God is not going to be angry forever or even for days on end from something that you've done that you feel you disappointed him or something you had not been faithful to God in doing what he asked you to do. No, you are a kid. You are a kid. So there are more reasons for you to rejoice. Join the party. When you go to heaven, what do you think is going to be? A big courtroom? Everybody stands before God? I mean, that happens too. I mean, the scripture described that. But if I keep thinking that heaven is a courtroom and God sits on the judgment seat, I am not longing for heaven. Heaven is a place where you rejoice, like this party with God of the sinner who repent and who are now in heaven. So brothers and sisters, we need to sort of kind of shift our spiritual focus from a God who is judge to a God who is the daddy, and rejoice over your daddy. Okay, next week we're going to see what this daddy is like. And let's see. I have some announcement to make. May 3rd, which is a Saturday, we are going to give a going away party to the two graduates. We had two graduates, right? Jessica, and then who else? Oh, you're graduating too. Okay. Come and join. Let's party together. And then Shelly, you know. Who's also graduating. What? Injun is graduating. Oh, no, he's not graduating. Wu Jong. Yeah, Wu Jong is graduating. So we have at least five. We have five people who are graduating, and you guys are welcome to come to our home. I will give you more details as the time approach. And let's party together, man. Let's party together. It's not always like this, you know. Every Sunday you sing song, you pray, God Almighty. You know, let's rejoice with the Lord. Anything else I need to? Oh, yes, yes. Easter Sunday, there is a plan to combine, have a combined service over there. Easter Sunday. So I don't know the detail. I know who is the preacher. Not me, but Zhonghui 老师 is a preacher. And so we are going to translate for sure the message. Now, whether that translation is going to be side by side or some other means, I don't know. No, I don't have the detail yet, but it's coming. So we will have a combined service once a year, I think, you know, with our Chinese brothers and sisters. And then if you want to join us for sunrise service, we meet over PVCC. You know PVCC? Piedmont Community College. Piedmont Community College has a grassy field. You can see the sunrise, you know. So we have been doing that for many years, right? Since we got here. So we just do that on Sunday morning, but then you have to get up pretty early. The sunrise around six o'clock. So get up early. But we have refreshment there too as well. Okay. So praise God for another week. And you know, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Ever heard that? Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Make it good. Okay.